This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil'alameen. Ba'athahu Allahu shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idnihi wa sirajin munira. A couple of things before I start the lecture. The first point that I want to mention, I never visited the UK this time round in order to give da'wah, because I know some of the organizations are going to see this program and think that I may have snaked them, right? I didn't. I just came here in order to finish a couple of things off that needed to be sorted out. And then as I was speaking to Ustad Umar, it just happened to be. بِقَدَرٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. InshaAllah ta'ala, when I come back in the summer, I will try to do as many other masajid and organizations as I can. I didn't personally know maybe a week ago that I was going to be in the UK this time round. I've been away for like 6 months. And alhamdulillah, as I arrived, I was welcomed with the rain and the coldness of Birmingham and London and all these other places. May Allah help you guys with this weather. Second thing that I want to mention, my brothers and my sisters, today's program is not going to be like last year. Some of you guys may remember last year's lecture, which went pretty viral online. I think it got over 500,000 views, just that 1 hour lecture, right? There will be, inshallah ta'ala, some reminders. However, it will be a tad bit technical, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I tried to cover so many reminders in that 1 hour so that it could be comprehensive for anyone who wants an iman booster entering into the month of Ramadan. Okay. It's online, it's on my channel, and I believe it's on the channel of the masjid as well. It's called Ramadan Like No Other. As you guys heard, my brothers and my sisters, I want to today, inshallah ta'ala, go through not even a tafsir, just perhaps maybe a ta'liq or some ta'amulat, some reflections on the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah that speak about fasting. These surah, my brothers and my sisters, or these ayat, these verses in Surah Al-Baqarah that I want to, inshallah ta'ala, reflect upon today, right, were mentioned in this surah, in this chapter, not by accident. There are books that have been written on tanasub al-ayati wa suwar. Why this chapter has been placed before this chapter? Why this verse has been mentioned in this particular surah? Suyuti has a kitab and others, right? If we just, inshallah ta'ala, take a moment out to reflect on Surah Al-Baqarah. What does Surah Al-Baqarah speak about? Does anybody know? What does Surah Al-Baqarah speak about? Take a guess, it's in the name. Huh? It is called a cow, Baqarah, or a calf, whatever you want to call it, right? Surah Al-Baqarah. There is a number of incidents in this chapter, this very long chapter. When you think about it, you would see that there is a reoccurring theme in Surah Al-Baqarah related to al-istislam, submission, being someone who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the end of the first half of the first juz, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he interacts with Bani Israel, who were the most stubborn, hard-headed people that you will see across history. He told them to slaughter a cow. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Your Lord instructs you to slaughter a cow. They turned around to him and he said, قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُؤًا. Are you taking us for a joke? Are you trying to mock us? Are we idiots? That was their response. They were simply told, slaughter a cow. However, the stubborn, hard-headed individuals they were, they kept on contesting whatever he was saying. Constantly asking question. قَالُ ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. Go and call onto your Lord. Invoke him and just ask him exactly what it is. So then he tells them. And then he asks another question. ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا لَوْنُهَا. Now go back, ask your Lord what color it needs to be. Then he tells them. And then again, ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّن لَنَا مَا هِي. Go and ask him, what is this cow that we are supposed to be slaughtering? Were they individuals who were submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, they weren't. Then you also find in Surah Al-Baqarah the interaction that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had with who? Namrud. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Ibrahim said to him, it's my Lord that gives life and takes life. He turns around and he says, no, I am the one that gives life and takes away life. Right? Objecting to what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was saying to him. قال فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب. And then Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام says to him, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes the sun from the east to the west. And he had no response after that. شاهد من الكلام, my brothers and my sisters, was this individual submissive? He wasn't. At the end of the first juz, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam as who? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah tells us that Ibrahim was instructed to submit. Do as you've been told, fulfill the commandments. He says straight away, I submit my will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, my brothers and my sisters, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went through many, many trials and tribulations and hardships. Right? He was told to leave his wife and his son in the middle of nowhere. Right? This Kaaba that we visit, my brothers and my sisters, to circumambulate. We go around it to perform our umrah and our hajj. Once upon a time, it wasn't like that. It was barren land. Right. Allah told him, leave your family in the middle of nowhere. Now imagine, my brothers and my sisters, for those who have kids or those who have spouses, you have to just leave them in the middle of nowhere. And we have a lot of young people as well. Imagine you have to leave. As you're picking up your younger brother from primary school, you are told, leave him in the middle of nowhere. Would you be able to do it? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed. As he's walking away, Hajar, his wife comes running behind him and he says, oh, and she says, be careful with the pronouns, right? She says, Allah amaraka bihada. He's walking off. She's saying to him, did Allah instruct you with this? He says, no. What was her response? If this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has told you, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعْنَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forsake us. Submission. Right. That wasn't the only time that he had to go through a hardship or a difficulty. Even that interaction with that tyrannical ruler who kidnapped his wife, Sarah. Sah? You guys heard of that story? That tyrannical, barbaric, disruptive ruler kidnapped his wife because he felt attracted to her. What did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam do right away? He rushed into prayer. Another incident, my beloved brothers and sisters, he is instructed to slaughter his son. Right? He puts him down. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. His son, my brothers and my sisters, is about to get butchered, is about to get slaughtered. father's looking at him, right? The son responds back by saying, "Oh father, do as you have been commanded. Satajiduni insha'Allahu min as-sabirin. You are going to find me from amongst the sabirin." But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed that this is replaced now with a sacrificial animal and so on and so forth. Shahid min al-kalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam didn't budge. No ifs and no buts. He was instructed or something, he done it straight away. And the last example that I'm going to mention, my brothers and my sisters, is when he was instructed to build that Kaaba under the scorching heat. Like I said, my brothers and my sisters, the way you see the Kaaba today, it wasn't like that in the time of Ibrahim. Was it always like that? No, it was barren land. Right? And when he had to leave Hajar and his son in the middle of nowhere, he made dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla, "Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar' 'inda baytika al-muharram, Rabbana liyuqima as-salah." Oh Allah. Makes dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Things got difficult, got hard, right? What is he doing here? I've given a number of examples. The time when his wife was kidnapped by that tyrannical ruler, he rushed into prayer, calling unto Allah Azza again. Calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's his only hope. If only we did that, my brothers and my sisters. Our only hope is Allah. Right? He calls unto Allah Azza wa Jalla. "I have indeed situated my family in this barren land as you commanded. There are no crops. It's a barren land. فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Cause the hearts of the people to go towards my family." Imagine there's barren land and he's begging Allah, "Ya Allah, allow or cause the hearts of the people now to head and to go towards them." He had to build that Kaaba under the scorching heat, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Not this British summer that you guys have. Huh? No. Scorching heat. I'll tell you guys something that happened to me one time, right? Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr was about to start a class. He's one of the teachers in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid. And the book that was going to be taught by the Sheikh, we were told by some rumors, that is being distributed outside of the masjid. And this book I couldn't find in the bookstore. And the moment I heard that, I started running outside of the masjid without my sandals at Asr time, not at Dhuhr time. Dhuhr time, the heat, it reaches its peak. Asr time, it becomes a lot more cooler. Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, as I'm walking, my feet start toasting. And then I start running because of how hot it is. This is Arabian weather or the Arabian heat. And I'm just running like a headless chicken. Where's the book? And then I go to the other side. And then eventually I just run back into the masjid and my feet were toasted. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, middle of nowhere, begins to build the Kaaba. No ifs, no buts. Right? And then when he finishes, my brothers and my sisters, and this part really breaks my heart, and he made Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz cry, they say 7 times, or something along the lines of that. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. This is amalun makhsus. This is a very specific act. Right? That Ibrahim has been asked. No one before him has been asked to do that. He starts building after he's completed building this Kaaba. Ya Allah, accept it from me. Meaning, I don't know even the specific act that is so special whether Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to accept it from me. This is a very important point of reflection. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, no ifs and no buts. Why am I mentioning all of this, my brothers and sisters? I gave you some incidents where they weren't submissive. Like the Bani Israel, hard-headed, right, individuals.
stubborn.
Somali, they call the madh adak, right? Or adek. Still learning Somali. Hard-headed individuals. Right? And then in contrast, you have what? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. How not to be and how to be. You have that perfect example in him. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ or إِسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ another qira'ah. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ You have a perfect example and role model in Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. Follow him. Right. I was going to talk about his relationship with his father, but for the sake of time. In this surah, my brothers and my sisters, that has this reoccurring theme of submission and lack of submission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions in it the five pillars of Islam. Salah is mentioned. Zakah is mentioned. What else is mentioned? Hajj. Right? Also, the Shahadatain is mentioned in there. And of course, the verses of fasting. Does it make sense or do I need to spell it out, guys? Let's be honest with ourselves, my brothers and my sisters. Is Salah easy? Is it easy, guys? It becomes burdensome at times, right? Is Hajj easy? Put your hand up, you've been to Hajj before. I can see maybe what? 4 or 5 hands that have gone up and they packed the masjid. 6. Allah, brothers and sisters, it's extremely hard. Right? As a young man, going back and forth from Mina to the Jamarat, it's mentally exhausting. Physically, likewise, it's very overwhelming. At times, I see the elderly, right? They struggle with it. Almost, you can see on their faces, subhanAllah. I wish I did it when I was a lot younger. It's extremely hard. Very, very exhausting. Physically draining. Likewise, my brothers and my sisters, the prayer, it can be very difficult for many. And then you also have what? Fasting. Let's be honest with ourselves. Once upon a time, a couple of years ago, how many hours were we fasting for? What's the longest that it's ever been? 19 hours, right? You think that's easy? Allah, it wasn't easy. So all of these different acts of worship are being mentioned in this surah, in this chapter. While you have the theme of submission and a lack of submission, it only makes sense. It's hard, but it's in your own best interest. Submit to it. Right? This, in a nutshell, my brothers and my sisters, is from the themes of Surah Al-Baqarah. And in it, you find these verses of fasting. Right? So let's now, inshallah ta'ala, reflect on some of these verses. And by the way, my brothers and my sisters, if we can take at least one lesson away from this, is that which I'm about to mention right now, something that Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَتَدَبَّرَهُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَقْوَلْ أسباب المانعة له أو بعضها. He says, when one now recites the Quran and he reflects on it, this is from the greatest of ways to overcome sins, or maybe at least some of it. Whatever sin it may be that you are addicted to, or a woman that you've now become so infatuated with, Ja'il, right? That you're trying to what? Detach yourself from. The Quran, my brothers and my sisters. I'm a big advocate, my brothers and my sisters, for that tafsir called Ibn Kathir. That you find translated into the English language, an abridged version. And no, my brothers and my sisters, I'm not getting royalties. Right? Go and buy it. I think it cost £150. Wallahi. It will be the sweetest £150 that you spent. This Ramadan, The Imam is going to read one juz every day, right? Get that, take a moment out to just maybe go through it. See how this is going to impact not just your Ramadan, but your life altogether. You know, brothers and sisters, recently I discovered this app called Quranly. You guys heard of it? I love modern day solutions to the problems that we have. Wallahi, there was this amazing feature on there. You can add your friends and your family. And if you feel like they're maybe a little bit too busy, you can nudge them. And then they start getting all these notifications on their phone. I need to encourage one another to have that relationship with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ala kulli hal, my brothers and my sisters, reflecting on these verses, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, perhaps, inshallah, it will better your life in the best possible way. It starts off as our Qari Ismail recited from Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh, you who believe. Does anyone have an idea of how many times Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu has been mentioned in the Quran? Anyone know? He said 200 and he's guessing. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, my brothers and my sisters, has been mentioned 89 times. And in Surah Al-Baqarah alone, it's been mentioned 11 times. Oh, you who believe, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. When we hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, my brothers and my sisters, it is personal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you out as someone who has faith. Oh, you who has believed, right? You're a Muslim, you're a believer. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say, when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, right? فَأَرْعِهَا سَمْعَكَ, make sure you lend your ear. فَإِنَّهَا خَيْرٌ تُؤْمَرُ بِهِ أَوْ شَرٌ تُنَى عَنْهُ. Because you're about to be instructed with some goodness and some evil that you're about to be warned away from. Right? In other words, if you want to complete your iman, you want it to go up. It's one of the common questions, my brothers and my sisters, by the way. I even thought about one time to go through the Quran any time which there is a commandment or a prohibition, or there's a verse that speaks about something that raises your hands to put it somewhere. Even our Sheikh Shah Abdul Zakir Badi's got a kitab called Ziyadatul Imani wa Nuqsani. That which increases your iman. Whenever that act is connected to La yu'minu ahadukum, one is not a true believer, we can take from that, this is from the things that's going to increase your iman. Ala kulli hal. You want your iman to go up? In other words, my brothers and my sisters, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, fast. Oh, you believe. Whenever we hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, my brothers and my sisters, I want you guys to be conscious and to recognize these two things. Number one, أن يستشعر نعمة الله عليه أنه جعله من أهل الإيمان. To be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked you out from all of his creation to be a Muslim. Something, my brothers and my sisters, that we don't appreciate enough. A lot of us here, we've been born upon al-Islam. Not everyone is advantaged in that way, my brothers and my sisters. Go ask the reverts the amount of trouble that they have to go through after they embrace al-Islam. Well, you know what breaks my heart, my brothers and my sisters? Every now and again I get this message. Can I pray inside of the toilet? Yes, that's what they have to go through. Because if my kafir father or my kafir mother finds out that I am praying, there's going to be trouble. Hi, my brothers and my sisters, what should we say to them in this kind of situation? Can they pray inside of the toilet? They can't go outside for whatever reason. It's Fajr time or it's Isha time, it's late. They fear Allah Azza wa Jal to the best of their ability, even though the asl is that they can't. It's haram. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ardu kullaha masjid. The whole earth is a praying area for you, except these two places, the graveyard and the hammam. Of course, the hammam in fiqh, it has a particular meaning where they would normally shower. وَهَذَا أَوْلَى. This is foremost likewise that they shouldn't, or one shouldn't. But in that case, cases of what? Necessity, or where there is an exceptional circumstance, we say to them, do it. That's the only option that you have. That you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having chosen you from amongst His creation. Right. Remember that, my brothers and my sisters. The lives that they're living is very different to the lives that a Muslim has. Came across an article, my brothers and my sisters. And this was in fact on the Daily Mail. One of the best websites for Muslims, right? I'm being sarcastic. You know what the title of the article was? Muslims feel the most spiritual oneness and life satisfaction. One thing that many of you guys may not necessarily be aware of is that a lot of non-Muslims, they are spiritually dead and empty. Right? And not just them. When you start engaging in filth and evil, my brothers and my sisters, many people think the only time I have to answer to my sins is when I meet Allah Azza wa Jal. Malik ibn Dinar, he said, مَا ضُرِبَ عَبْدٌ بِعُقُوبَةٍ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ قَصْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ. One is not punished with a punishment more greater than suffering from a hardness in your heart. It's the worst kind of punishment you can experience in this world, my brothers and my sisters. Spiritually dead and empty. And then you start reverting to all sorts of distractions in order to make yourself feel better. Nothing can make you feel better more than having that connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? We've been saying this for ages, and a lot of the time when a Moli Sahib or when a Sheikh tells us something, oh, this backworded guy, right? Yeah, I know better. That's how we look at people of religiosity. As if they don't know what's going on. Sah? Until some gal, some non-Muslim comes along, does some research, puts forward a couple of studies that he put together. Oh, mashallah, tabarakallah. Al-an, وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنْ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. It requires a non-Muslim to tell us that something is like this and something shouldn't be like this. After he's scientifically proven it. Come on, guys. There was even an article on so many of these different news outlets that was speaking about bacon, pork, right? And how it increases stomach cancer. Al-an, now we're going to like believe in it, brothers and sisters. When Allah Azza wa Jal, 1400 years ago, it was documented in the Quran. It states, Muslim people feel the most satisfied with their lives because they feel more oneness, tawheed, or connection than people of other faiths, a new study suggests. It also states, measuring life satisfaction is about as close to quantifying happiness. Allahu Akbar. As we've been able to get thus far, and a German psychologist's new study suggests that a feeling of oneness predicts overall contentment. Huh? This is the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal upon every single one of us that have been granted and blessed with faith. Right? I can go on all day, and I've delivered lectures in the past where I quoted, right, some of these footballers, some of these YouTubers, who they themselves talk about how they are spiritually dead and empty. It's not Abu Taymiyyah making it up. They themselves have uttered it. You guys heard of Thierry Henry? I've not mentioned this before in a lecture. I'm going to mention it to you guys now. You guys know Thierry Henry? You Gen Zs might not know him. He's currently what? A TV pundit. You might find him a match of the day. But once upon a time, he was representing Arsenal. What are you guys getting excited for? You know what he said about himself, my brothers and my sisters? I was depressed, crying every day, dealing with this depression. By around that time, my brothers and my sisters, he was an icon, right? Extremely wealthy. He's speaking about this about himself, guys. It's on YouTube. And there are numerous examples. The second thing, my brothers and my sisters, when we hear Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, this is an announcement that I am going to what? Submit. Because when I embraced Al-Islam, when I accepted the call, it was me making an announcement, Aqdul Bay'ah, an oath of allegiance, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whenever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells me to do something, I'm going to do it straight away. My brothers and my sisters, please take this from me, right? Whatever commandment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructed with, and whatever prohibition, whether you see the wisdom in it or not, it is in your own best interest. I'm going to tell you guys a very quick story. Because when you live in today's day and age with all of these different modern day ideologies, you will see people coming along saying, oh, this is what is morally acceptable and this is not what is morally acceptable. You guys heard this argument of morality, right? Those in university, right, hear it, laylan wa naharan, sabahan wa masa'a, day and night. My argument has always been, where do you draw the line of what is morally acceptable and what isn't? What should I do? What should I not do? I'll tell you guys a story of a man that I met in India. Just by transit, brothers. I've never been to India. As I was on my way to Australia, on Indian Airways, they dropped us off at New Delhi, one of the worst airports you could go to. And I hate the airline as well. Don't ever take it. As we stopped, couple of hours, there was a couple of delays. Me and this individual called Mark, we started speaking. I said to Mark, why are you going to Australia, all the way to Australia by yourself, Lesh? It's a very long trip. Takes you what, 20 hours to get there. I know why I'm going. What about you? He said, I was meant to be going with my girlfriend. We broke up, and now I'm going to Australia to find new love. So me, I was feeling a little bit nosy at the time, long wait. I decided to start asking him questions. Why did you guys break up? You know what he said to me? I've thought you heard this before, right? Have I told you? Huh? He said, I did not like the way she used to dress outside. He's a non-Muslim guy. And I also didn't like the fact that she was texting the opposite gender. I turned around to him and he said, Akhi, why are you being so like rough and tough? Why are you being so controlling, my friend? Live and let be. Right? Live and let be. Everyone's entitled to do as they wish, my friend. Why are you being so pushy for? He goes, no, I don't like it. So I said to him, Mark, what are the chances that when you now go to Australia to find new love, that she's going to be no different to the one that you broke up with? He goes, no. Hopefully, it's fine. My brothers and my sisters, Where do you draw the line of what is correct and what is not? This guy sounds like he wants a Muslim woman with niqab on. He's a non-Muslim complaining about his non-Muslim girlfriend dressing inappropriately outside. Right? A sister walks outside without hijab, and they say to her, brother, don't be controlling, let everyone do as they wish. Taib. To what extent can she also walk outside without a top? No, that's too much. Taib, why are you now giving me what I should and what I shouldn't? Someone else comes along and says completely differently. You know, even when I sometimes arbitrate between husband and wife, the guy's complaining about his wife and she's complaining about him. He's saying she's being overly controlling, right? She says, why is he speaking to the opposite gender? I don't like it. Stop being jealous. That's his response. Where do you draw the line of what is right and what is wrong? Who determines what I should do and what I shouldn't do? Right? This is why, my brothers and my sisters, we have no option except to accept that there is an external entity greater than all human beings. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives us rules and regulations of what I should do with my life and what I shouldn't. Otherwise, there will continue to be disputes. Right? There will continue to be disputes between you and your loved ones, in your marriage, with your family members. Ila akhirih. Wallahi, brothers, so many people are miserable. And a lot of the time, it just boils down to, we can't agree on what is morally acceptable. It's just like a deep tunnel that you need to go through in order to make them understand, brothers and sisters, this will continue until you take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the almighty creator, submitting to whatever he has to tell you. Also, my brothers and my sisters, when you look at, and by the way, I'm not inciting violence or anything like that, when you look at the Skittles team, right, who are now trying to justify whatever they're doing, sahih? Someone will come along tomorrow and say, incest. Tell me why this is not something one should do, and this is something that is perfectly fine. Their argument is, love is love. Love is love. This guy turns around and he says, love is love. He wants to have a relationship with his sister. Wants to have a relationship with his mother. Is this something that is alien? No, it's not anymore, my brothers and my sisters. Same argument is being used. Where do you draw the line of what is acceptable and what is not? I'm just quoting, by the way. I'm not bringing anything from my own self. That's why, my brothers and my sisters, al-istislam, accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you. I know what's happening on Twitter, guys. I know. The hijab is a point of controversy. Something else, tomorrow is going to be another point of controversy. Why should I? Why should I not? Right. Whether you see it or not, it is in your own best interest. And you'll see these studies and these articles coming out every now and again, brothers and sisters. Third benefit or third point that I want to take from Ya Ayyuha Alladhina Amanu. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the believers here, my brothers and my sisters? In the best possible way. O person of Iman, O faith, come and do this. This is a lesson for every single one of us in how we address one another. Especially those who are tweeting all the time and posting on different social media platforms, insulting and mocking others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called you out in the best possible way, O person of Iman. While as sometimes you may say, O donkey, or this, or that, Baqara, even the way he refers to his wife, in the worst possible way, when he's calling her out. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. What does kutiba mean? Does anybody know?
Enjoyed.
He said writing. Kaf, ta, and ba. In the Arabic language, if I say kataba Muhammadun, it means he wrote. So who's right? Him? Or he said enjoined? Shukur. Where's Abdul Rahim? I met him early on Coventry Road. What does kutiba mean? Kutiba, my brothers and my sisters. Passive, ahsant. Yes, it's passive. But you know the Arabic language, my brothers and my sisters, is very, very comprehensive. Sometimes just one word can mean what? More than one thing. So everyone was right. It means to write, passive, kutiba, it was written. But also what it means, it's from the alfad, the wordings that indicate that something is what? Mandatory. Right? Furida, ahsant. Who said that? Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. It also means what? Furida, it's been obligated. I'm going to point something out. Approximately like 2 years ago on this Jubilee channel on YouTube, some of you guys come across it. There was this lady who was saying that I've gone through the whole Quran. She said, I went through the whole Quran and I did not find anywhere that the hijab is an obligation. She goes, when I went through the translation, it said, you should. And should does not indicate this act now being what? Mandatory. If you want, like, if you know, sometimes you speak to somebody, right? And you say to him, bro, you should do that. Are you now being imposing on that individual? This is when usul al-fiqh comes in extremely, extremely handy. Wallahi, when I heard that, I didn't know whether I should cry or laugh. You take ahkam al-shar'iyya or ahkam al-takleefiyya from the English language. Usul al-fiqh is a science, my brothers and my sisters, right? And by the way, you can't expect to be a faqih if you don't know usul al-fiqh. Usul al-fiqh gives you the tools now to determine the rulings of when it is wajib, mandatory, when it's sunnah, when it's not. Gives you tools. And it is governed by the Arabic language. And the Arabic language, or should I say the English language, does not give the Arabic language its true justice. It doesn't do that. Ala kulli hal, usul al-fiqh is important, my brothers and my sisters. You should learn it. Kutiba. It is from the wordings, my brothers and my sisters, that what? Indicate this act now to be mandatory. And it comes in the Quran many times. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum al-qisas. Oh, you believe. The qisas has been made mandatory. And in other verses as well, kutiba alaykum al-qital kama ila akhirih. Also, there's other ways to determine whether something is mandatory or not. I know you guys are switching off now, but like I said, last year I came here, I gave you guys a reminder. Today I'm trying to just up it a little bit, inshaAllah ta'ala. Hafid al-Hakmi, he says, أَرْبَعُ أَلْفَاظٍ بِهَا الْأَمْرُ دُرِي إِفْعَلْ لِتَفْعَلْ إِسْمُ فِعْلٍ مَصْدَرِي وَقَدْ يُسَاقُ فِي مَسَاخِ الْخَبَرِ وَبِالْجَزَى وَنَحْوِي فَاعْتَبِرِي. There's ways to know whether something is wajib or not, right? And you're not going to find that out through the English language. This is why also, my brothers and my sisters, you may have noticed, many years ago, there was a witch hunt against Al-Imam Shafi'i. The Orientalists, they have a big issue with Imam Shafi'i. Abdullah the Shafi'i is going to get very excited because I'm praising his imam. He's our imam as well. Right? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was the first one to document or to note down usul al-fiqh as a science and as a ilm mustaqil. أول من ألف في الكتب محمد بن الشافعي المطلبي وغيره كان له سليقة مراقي السعود. First one to document. Why? Because أصول الفقه as غديان رحمة الله عليه وسي الأصول سور النصوص من النصوص. أصول الفقه is like the gates that protect the text from the thieves. What kind of thieves? The burglar that comes and robs your money? لا. These people who come and try to distort your religion. They start taking things out of context. Usul al-fiqh, my brothers and my sisters, like the vanguard, the gatekeeper in protecting our sharia. That's why these Orientalists, these non-Muslims, have a big issue with Imam Shafi'i. Because if you want to now discredit a religion, just discredit those who came with it, right? Or those who actually preach it. That's the whole idea behind it. Take him out, we can just tamper with the religion. By the way, my brothers and my sisters, you go to some of these universities, there are non-Muslims learning our religion. Don't think I'm just some backwards guy, guys, right? I went to Loughborough University. I seen what they do. I was doing civil engineering. They are learning our religion in order to become Muslims? La wallah. So they can use it against vulnerable Muslims who are on edge of their religion. And then they begin to wonder, maybe I should just, you know, rethink whether Islam is the truth or not. My brothers and my sisters, let me ask you guys a question. Anyone here doing engineering? What year are you in? Second year. How many years got left? One. I might ask you some questions about engineering that you don't have any knowledge of. Have you encompassed and learned everything pertaining to engineering? So there's going to be some things that you don't know. Are you going to now contemplate leaving your course if I ask you a question and you don't have the answer to? That would be ludicrous, right? Anyone here doing medicine? No, we're not going to have any doctors in Birmingham. What year are you in? Second, how many years ago left? Three, sah? See, I know, right? If I ask you a couple of questions and you don't have the answer, are you going to think about jumping ship? No, you're not, right? Then my brothers and my sisters, why would you, in your right mind, think about leaving al-Islam when you know you haven't learned your religion properly? The moment a couple of questions are asked and you didn't have the answers to. How does that make sense? I want you guys to write this down. Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. Sounds like some of you put on Twitter, right? I'll say it again. Just because you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean there aren't any answers. Because in these universities, there are breeding grounds for kufr, shirk, feminism, liberalism, whatever ism else there is, right? It's become a very colorful place as well. Sahih. It's a breeding ground for all of these things. You're going to get penetrated with doubts, pierced through your hearts. Anyways, I'm digressing a little bit there. Kutiba alaykumu, as-siyam. Give the uncle way. Be patient. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Guys, pay attention. That which has been prescribed upon you, my brothers and my sisters, is what? As-siyam. Does anyone know what siyam means, lughatan, in the language? Fasting? No, I didn't ask for a translation. Huh? Sorry? To hold back, ahsant, al-imsak, to hold back from something. And then you have what? The technical meaning. Right? Imsakun makhsus, fi waqtin makhsus, right? Min shakhsin makhsus, bi niyatin makhsusa. To hold back from something. And there's a lot of holding back that we need to do, my brothers and my sisters, starting from now, and I touched on it in the khutbah. You know, a lot of brothers and sisters, year in, year out, it takes them a very long time to get into gear. Right? I normally what similarize Ramadan with a car. Can you go directly into gear 5? The moment you get into the car, no, gear 1, gear 2, gear 3, gear 4, gear 5. Many of us, we only get into gear 2 at the end of Ramadan. You know why? Because we weren't used to doing these acts of worship before the month of Ramadan. Why do you think, my brothers and sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would fast in the month of Sha'ban? Lesh? We're being taught something here. He would fast the majority of Sha'ban. Lesh? Why? We're being taught, right, to get used to this act of worship, which we may not necessarily have been doing throughout the year, because once Ramadan kicks in, we can walk away with maximum reward. Instead of what? Suffering throughout the day. Oh, I can't take this anymore. It's too hard. No, you're already used to it. Your body has become very familiar with it. Right? Qiyamul layl, you start doing these acts of worship in the month of Sha'ban. Some of us, my brothers and my sisters, we need to do imsak. We need to do a sawm. The linguistic meaning, which means to withhold, also is mentioned in the Quran, by the way. Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, when Virgin Mary, when she came back to her people with the newborn, Isa, Jesus, right? They were all shocked. What shall I do? She was told that when you go to your people, tell them that you are doing a psalm from what? فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّةَ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. I took a vow that I'm going to do a psalm. From what? I am not going to what? Speak to you guys today. Meaning I'm going to withhold from speaking. It's now that it starts, my brothers and my sisters. Us withholding from a lot of things. Such as what? I'm going to be very frank with you guys. Some of us need to do a psalm from our phones. Wallahi, we need to do a psalm from our phones. You know, my brothers and my sisters, one thing identifying the problem is another finding the solution. Some of us are in denial, right? We don't want to accept that there is a problem. The first step to solving the problem is to accept that there's an issue, right? I know, and you know, that some of these social media apps are the cause of us becoming addicted to haram. It was in this masjid many, many years ago. I think he messaged me the other day as well. Right? It was in this masjid where I met a Yemeni brother who had a trap phone. Wallahi al-azim. He wasn't carrying this phone because he's a trapper. He was carrying this phone. Look, I want to stay away from the whole stuff that comes with these smartphones. I need a break from it. Guys walking around with these brick phones that we had maybe 10 years ago. Not even 10 years ago, maybe before that. Some of us actually need to do that. I'm just giving you guys a couple of examples. Right? It may well be that we need to do a psalm from certain individuals that we hang around with. Six months before the month of Ramadan, as the brother mentioned, they would make the dua, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. Shahid min al-kalam, my brothers and my sisters, it's now, right, that we get into gear. That we start introducing new habits and we start getting rid of bad ones. And yes, we're going to struggle, it's going to be hard. But remember, Ramadan is an opportunity that Allah Azza wa Jalla is throwing away. right? The scene has been set. The doors of Jannah have been swung open and the doors of Hellfire have been slammed shut. It is this month if you are going to make a change, guys. It's so much more easier. Does that make sense? That's what it means, what? Linguistically. Who can give me some of the things that are now going to nullify your fast? Does anybody know? Eating and drinking, the obvious, sah. I want you guys to split into two. The things that you need to stay away from when fasting. There is that which is going to what? Nullify your fast. Such as food, drink, and sexual intercourse. And there's something else, my brothers and my sisters, that is not mentioned enough. And I believe every single teacher, when he teaches the ahkam of fasting, needs to bring this in. Right? It's that which is going to reduce the reward that you walk away with. Many people think, alhamdulillah, I stayed away from food, drink, sexual intercourse. He slept the whole day. Or when he wakes up, oh, well, there's still a couple of hours left. Let me just quickly watch a couple of what? Episodes of that series. By that time, it'll be Maghrib. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he said the following. He said, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعُكْ وَبَصَرُكْ وَلِسَانُكْ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ. When you fast, make sure your eyes are fasting. From what? Sorry, before that was what the ears. From what? Listening to haram. It's not just food and drink, my brothers and my sisters, that we need to stay away from that. Music that we listen to. The haram that that person utters, which I allow to go into my ears. I'm sitting with him and he's slandering, swearing, and I'm sitting there just listening to it. My ears need to be fasting. My eyes need to be fasting. From what? Huh? From what, guys? Hasant, of course, haram, but what haram? Hasant, women. Not just women anymore, guys. We're living in a different time. Why are you guys laughing? Well, I'm being serious. Well, one of the advices at times that we give to someone who's maybe in this situation, because I have a principle, and that principle is what the eyes can't see, the heart won't desire. Your eyes need to be fasting. And then the third thing that Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned also, your tongue needs to be fasting. From what? From kadhib, from lies, and all types of sins. Take this as a principle, my brothers and my sisters. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his kitab al-Wabil al-Sayyib, أفضل الصوام أكثرهم ذكرا لله عز وجل. The best of those who fast are those who remember Allah عز وجل the most. It's a principle that can be taken. In whatever act of worship, you will get more reward in the act of worship the more you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the guy that sleeps throughout the whole day, my brothers and my sisters, is not the same as the one who's constantly engaging in the remembrance of Allah or reading Quran. هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا. They are not the same whatsoever. Right? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. I'm going to come to that part of the verse, inshaAllah ta'ala. So that you may acquire a taqwa. And there is a direct connection between the two. Right? There's a direct connection between the two. Think about it for a moment, my brothers and my sisters. The majority of the sins that we fall into, what is it that causes it? Which parts of our body? Huh? Eyes, especially in today's day and age, right? Eyes, ears, the tongue. Wallahi, I personally believe if you manage to put a cap on these three body parts, you will become a waliyun min awliya'illah. You'll become from the saints, most beloved servants of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you'll be able to acquire what? The objective of Ramadan, to become a person who is muttaqi, conscious of Allah Jalla fi'ula, at-taqwa. Before I come on to that, my brothers and my sisters, I want to quickly mention, inshallah ta'ala, three common questions that I receive. Please don't blame me for having to discuss these issues. Our youth are suffering from it and they need to hear it. And if they don't hear it, it could be the cause of their Ramadan maybe becoming destroyed. And they're hearing all sorts of things in university anyway. Number one, that which relates to masturbation. And I think the brothers are going to be covering it as well. Does it break your fast? Yes, it does break your fast. Hadith Qudsi, يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He leaves his food, drink, and also his shahwa, his sexual desire for my sake. When an individual relieves himself like that, hasn't he done what you would normally do when having that engagement with a woman? Yes. He needs to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, that which is even worse than it. Every single Ramadan, I receive a message of a brother or a sister saying, I have fallen into a zina in the month of Ramadan. What do you advise? Right. Number one, you need to make some sincere tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Some sincere tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Before anything else. Before anything else. Sometimes you think to myself, how did you guys, in the month of Ramadan, I want to understand. It all started on Instagram. He saw her picture and she saw his picture. And then it was just an innocent chit-chat. And then the unexpected ended up taking place. Number two, my brothers and my sisters, that I want to mention is that which relates to nazar. Gazing. One may say, okay, I've understood the first hukum, the masturbation is going to break my fast. What if I now just decide to start looking at certain things? I'm not gonna, you know, do anything to myself, I'm just gonna look at it. I'm going to mention, inshallah, three scenarios very, very quickly. First scenario is when an individual now constantly gazes at something which releases urethral discharge. This is called methi. Is that which normally would come out at the time of becoming aroused. That doesn't break your fast. But you need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal anyway for looking at haram. Number two, one, he looks, just one glance, and then it causes him now to ejaculate. He looked and he just... No, it doesn't break his fast. Because the first glance has been what? Pardoned and forgiven. He needs help. Number three, right? This person now is constantly looking at haram. Yukarriru nazar. And then he ends up what? Releasing. In this case, my brothers and my sisters, this has broken his fast, and that is because he kept on looking at it. Does that make sense? The last point I'm going to mention, inshallah ta'ala, out of the three things, because I've only got another 4 minutes left, that which relates to vomit, it's a very, very common question. There are two scenarios, inshallah ta'ala. The first scenario is, right, if one makes himself vomit, he makes himself vomit, either by looking at something that is despicable, disgusting, or he puts his fingers down his throat to make himself vomit, and something comes out, faqa'a. That would break it. Second scenario, it happened unwillingly. Does it break it? No, it doesn't. Going back to the verse, my brothers and my sisters. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Why is Allah Azza wa Jal telling us it's being prescribed upon you the same way it was prescribed upon those who came before you? تَنْشِيطًا لِهَذِي الْأُمَّةِ. In order to energize them, galvanize them, to motivate them. If I was to say to you, bro, listen, so-and-so done it, so-and-so managed to achieve this, you will feel like, okay, if it's been done before, it'll be easy for me. And this is a very important usloob in da'wah. when encouraging others to do khair. So-and-so done it, Allahumma barik, that companion. This is why we read the lives of those who came before us, in order to encourage us, to motivate us. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire a taqwa. 3 minutes. What does taqwa mean? Does anyone know very, very quickly? Fear. Does it mean fear? To be conscious of Allah, fear, brothers and sisters, fear is a word that doesn't give it its true justice. No, it doesn't. It doesn't give it its true justice. It's only a part of it. As Ibn Rajab mentions, my brothers and my sisters, هُوَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَخَافُ وِقَايَةً تَقِيهِ مِنْ. It is to place a shield between yourself and that which you fear. What is it that we fear? The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. What is this shield? فِعْلُ الطَّاعَاتِ وَاجْتِنَابُ الْمَنْهِيَاتِ. To do what Allah told you to do and to stay away from what Allah azza wa jal told you to stay away from. And in Ramadan, it helps us. In Ramadan, it's like a boot camp. It's a madrasa. It's an institution. Where we hold back from these things, not just for the month of Ramadan, my brothers and my sisters. We need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, last year, I saw a tweet going around of a screenshot where a sister was texting her boyfriend, right? I don't want to see you for 30 days. And everyone is commenting, MashaAllah. She's going to stay away from a girl, from a, not girlfriend. She's going to stay away from a boyfriend for 30 days. And everyone's retweeting it, sharing with one another. Billah alayk ya jama'ah. Is it just for 30 days? Also, we find in households, my brothers and my sisters, right? The TV is switched off, then on the day of Eid is switched on. Is it just for the month of Ramadan? Are we only worshipping Allah Azza in the month of Ramadan? This boot camp is meant to ready us for outside the month of Ramadan, so that we can become from the closest servants of Allah Jalla fi'ala. Right? Finished, right? My brothers and my sisters, I want to tell you guys one last thing. At a lot of the events that I've been doing, we've been getting people from all sorts of backgrounds, with different types of hair, clothing. Some of our sisters may not necessarily be wearing the correct Islamic uniform. Please don't look down at them. Don't start looking at them in a way that they are not welcome in the masjid. We want people to come to these programs in order for them to become galvanized, right? Motivated now to do well. Everyone's on their journey. Remember, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. You were like that once upon a time, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you. It was an absolute pleasure for being here with you, brothers and sisters. جزاكم الله خيرا for having me, right? At such short notice, brothers organized it and they released the posters and the program. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reunite us in this world, and if we don't, in the highest part of Al-Jannah. Say ameen. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless you all and to help you with this weather. Right? Take care of yourselves, inshallah ta'ala. I'm flying out tonight. Please make dua for me, and I'll make dua for you guys as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.